So welcome, everyone. This is Michael Torres with Park County Community Services. And basically, every time I speak, I'm going to say who I am. And I ask that you do the same, just because it will make it a lot easier for keeping minutes if we know who is talking. So yes, thank you, Rebecca. So, you know, right there on the first slide is just some basic web meeting etiquette. If you're not speaking, please turn on your mute button. That will also prevent feedback. I already mentioned identify yourself when talking. We have disabled the chat function so that it's easier to keep track of what conversation is happening. If you do need to raise your hand or something, Rebecca is going to be keeping track of that, and she might just give me a heads up that, hey, Samantha Whitley has her hand raised, so that she can jump in. So I guess we're going to start with introductions. So again, I'm Michael Torres, Clark County Community Services. Janet, you want to go next?
Sure, I'm Janet Clark County.
And Sam, why don't both of you go next?
This is Rebecca with Clark County.
I'll jump in. Melita Mosley, Town of Yakult.
Jim Hodges, City of Camas.
Dave Scott, City of West Hugo.
Jeff Swanson, City of La Center.
Cherish DeRocher, City of Battleground.
And Peggy, you're on as well, right, with City of Vancouver?
Yes, Peggy Sheehan, City of Vancouver.
Is there anyone who has not identified themselves yet?
Tracy Coleman, City of Woodland.
Thank you, Tracy.
Temple Lentz, Clark County.
Hello, Councillor Lentz. Welcome.
And Samantha mentioned that she is having audio problems, so hopefully she'll still be able to manipulate the slide.
I certainly hope so. Can you go to the next slide?
I think looks like we have lost Sam, so if you'll give me a moment, I will get the slides up on my computer.
So much.
Okay, can everyone see the slides again?
Yes, I can. Would you mind moving one forward? Okay, so first we're going to do the approval of the March 9th, 2020 meeting minutes. And I believe, everyone was emailed them. If you've had a chance to review, is there any discussion, any motion to approve the March 9, 2020 meeting minutes?
Jim Hodges, I make a motion to approve.
Any discussion?
Dave Scott, second.
All If there's no discussion, I guess everyone, any opposed to passing? So I guess, or you can raise your hands and Rebecca can tally them. And if there's anyone opposed, please let us know now.
Chair Strosher, can you clarify how you're wanting us to vote on this?
Well, I guess this is a little bit awkward with online. Do you know how to raise your hand?
So is that how you're wanting us to approve it, by raising our hand?
Rebecca, like for voting for it, Rebecca, would that work for you, to be able to see it and record it, or you prefer to do a voice?
I think a voice would be better, although I do see two people raising their hands to approve. In future, we'll do a poll, and that way it'll be a lot easier.
Okay, that would work. So let's do a voice. So and we can just go kind of round robin. Councillor Lentz, Cherish, Jim Hodges, David Scott, Melita Mosley, and Jeff Swanson, like in that order. Councillor Lentz, okay. How do you vote?
Yes, approve.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for struggling through this with us. How about you, Cherish? Cherish, are you there?
Sorry, I thought it said, I must not have muted it properly. Cherish, I approve.
Thank you. Jim Hodges?
Aye.
David Scott?
Aye.
Jeff Swanson?
Aye.
Thank you. And it passes. Sam, have you joined us yet?
Yes, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yep.
My husband is resetting our Wi-Fi. So ridiculous. Yes.
Okay.
Michael?
Yes.
Michael, may I point out we also have Tracy Coleman.
Oh, thank you. Tracy Coleman. Thank you again, Janet. Tracy Coleman, how do you vote?
I approve and I raise my hand.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
And I apologize to you. I cannot see the hand raises, and you did mention that you were on,
okay.
You're on board.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Janet, so much. And so let's move on to HUD funding updates. Sam, are you in a place where you can discuss the CARES stimulus CDBG allocation, which is one of the reasons we felt we needed to have a UCPV today?
Yeah, and so my remote desktop isn't even working without the Wi-Fi, but I can tell you that we received $890 for the first allocation of the CARES funding, and we're expecting a second allocation through a different formula. The first allocation came out so quickly because HUD just granted it to all grantees based on their current formula that they just released. So on top of our 2020 funding, we now have this $890,000 to allocate for a COVID response. And we have a plan to share at some point about the funding. Do you want me to talk about what our plan is? Is that?
Yes, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. So what we kind of had heard from the small cities is that we're looking for small business assistance, and we reached out to our partners who we've worked with in the past and who just received 2020 awards. Mercy Corps Northwest is a new agency for us, but they have a really robust program in Portland, and they provided us with a proposal to get $520,000 out to small businesses. And what we're looking at, these would be businesses that are outside the city of Vancouver in Clark County that have seen a decline in their business because of the COVID. And we would do grants to the business up to probably between $5,000 and $10,000. And Mercy Corps would be able to coordinate that whole program for us so that we wouldn't have to have individual contracts with each small business. We also looked at giving $50,000 to enhance the Hispanic Chambers program. Oh, now I'm back. What? Okay, can you still hear me?
I think you're good now. Sam, are you still there?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I think you're good now.
My Wi-Fi is back. So, okay, is everybody seeing the slide? Well, not everybody is seeing the slide because some people are just calling in. But you see the Small Business Forgivable Loan Assistance. We also saw that the agencies that we just awarded TBRA funding to would need an increase in the case management services that for the people who are currently being housed. And then $50,000 for Hispanic Chamber to provide technical assistance as they have been, and $50,000 for Mercy Corps to provide technical assistance as they had originally proposed. So that is what our funding looks like, with administration of $178,000, which you may not need that full 20%. And we will also see what it looks like when we get our second allocation from HUD, how that would be allocated. But this was our first proposal as a draft for you to look at and consider.
And just to be clear, you know, to make clear what Sam is saying, is this truly is an initial staff proposal. We do not have to use that $890,000 in this way. We do need to move on it pretty quickly because that's what the funds are for. It's based on that feedback that we got from cities in terms of providing some small business assistance, and it's also based on the way our current funding of existing projects fell out. So if you like this proposal, we would like to move forward with it. If you have different ideas that you'd like us to do, now's a good time to discuss that.
Michael, this is Dave Scott in West Ugel. Can you or Sam walk through what the parameters are for this new funding or this additional funding? Are they different at all from typical, or is it just the exact same sort of portfolio of parameters for using the funds?
So
go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
HUD is going to come out with some waivers, but they haven't done that yet. So right now we're still working under the traditional CDBG rules, and they have put out some guidance about what they think is COVID response that they want you to target the funding for. So they didn't have any community development activities on there. They had things like rehabilitated buildings for quarantine, the business loan assistance. They also had you could use the funding for interim assistance to households, which would be rent or mortgage assistance payments for up to 3 months. So there is a one-page or two-page flyer that they provided of some ideas that they didn't say you had to do it, but things that they were thinking that the CDBG would be used for.
Thank you, Sam. So direct to household rent and mortgage assistance, and it wouldn't necessarily would you have to qualify folks, or are the qualifications a little different? Like, hey, I lost my job from COVID. I could use some assistance. Do they have to be, through a TBRA model, which is
It would definitely look different. It's not something that we've provided before. It would still be for households that were 80% of AMI. And in fact, I think this small business loan assistance is for small businesses that are owned by people who meet the low mod income definition. It's not just open up to anybody. But a lot of people are going to be meeting the 80% limit based on job losses here. So there would be a wide eligibility, but it would still need to meet the CDBG qualifications of 80% or less area median income.
That as a forgivable loan, it's essentially a grant, I guess, huh?
Yes.
So the only other thing I've been thinking about with respect to these funds, this is Dave again, there's going to be, these are all great ideas. I did have a question about that 20% admin that maybe we could get to. I heard you mention we may not need all of that. So all of us, including the county, are probably working on fiscal impact scenarios and what's going to happen to our organizations in terms of reduced funding. And there's kind of a thought that I had about maybe looking at the match that we all brought to our projects, if it's general fund money, even utility money. I mean, we may be all looking at, it's hard to say, City of Vancouver in their projections and some of the communities up in the Puget Sound, depending upon how long we have to stay hunkered down, there's some fairly significant, I might go as far as to say catastrophic impacts fiscally to our organizations. And I'm wondering if using some of these funds to soften that as we deliver the projects that we've approved in communities could be part of it. Depending upon the impact, maybe some of the projects could be at risk. You know, although I don't know, every community would have to prioritize. Is that even a possibility? I'm not saying it's what we should do, but is that even a possibility?
Just a way to spend COVID funding money.
We could certainly look at that. It would probably be with the second allocation of funding that we get. And that would be a question for HUD on if we could just beef up our already awarded infrastructure or community service projects.
HUD would consider a lot of that community development, wouldn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a very valid concern, and I do think we should follow up with HUD, David. On that, I do think that will probably be more of a focus on the second allocation, because this first allocation is focused on immediate COVID-19 impact, excluding community development. And that's not to say, I mean, clearly everything you described is happening because of the economic slowdown with COVID-19. I'm not arguing that at all. It's just the limited guidelines we have from HUD to this point.
Got it. Thank you. Do you know when that second one, did you already say?
We did not say. And I do not know. Do you know, Sam?
No, they're planning to allocate it based on the communities, different communities' impacts that were impacted by COVID. So they're creating the formula as we speak. I don't know how long it will take or how long they're waiting to see what the total impact will be.
Got it. And then I'm sorry to have all these questions, but on the administration, 20%, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The all of CDBG comes with 20% administration, and I checked with our accounting staff to see do we need to keep the full 20% administration for these funds as well, and she wanted me to start out with that just in case and see how it goes.
So what would that be used for I mean, you guys already have your budget, staffs, your budget is set up with various sources of revenue, including this 20% administration, I would assume, right? So we have a program and program staff, totally understandable. So I guess if you got a hit to your budget because of COVID, this administration money would would backfill that, or is this like for additional staffing or something?
Yeah, so me, Rebecca, and Michael all have different programs that we work on, and so I'm imagining that a lot more of my time is going to be spent on CDBG than it normally is during the year to get these other programs rolled out. So the time spent on stimulus funding would be billed to the stimulus administration, plus other operating costs, however finance figures out our indirects and our...
That's exactly right. I mean, obviously we like to use as little administration as possible. None of the positions in our unit, Community Action, Housing, and Development, are 100% funded by any grant or program that includes HOME and CDBG. In fact, usually, especially with HOME, often the Clark County Community Services has to supplement the funds, to meet how much staff time is spent administering HOME, because thank you, HUD, for your administrative requirements. But so we bill time based on what we're doing, what we're spending on a grant, just like Sam said. I would anticipate that the additional CDBG funds for COVID will require additional staff time. It's not going to be like just absorbed by the staff time, especially Sam, because he's the primary person with CDBG and HOME, that she would have normally spent on HOME and CDBG. Now she just adds this funding to it. So I think that in terms of getting the additional funding out, setting up, like we do, if we did the Small Business Forgivable Loan Assistance Program, that's an entirely new program to set it up. Doing the compliance around that will require a lot of time, and that will eat into at least some of that administration, which is why finance asked for us to budget out the full 20%. But of course, what we don't spend on administration, we would put into programs.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion on this?
This is Tracy from the City of Woodland, and one of the questions I have is in regards to some of this allocation of funding for COVID-19. Is there any way that possibly some funding could be set aside for PPE that's needed in the communities? I know you're talking about Small Business Forgivable Loan Assistance. I think that's a great program and where the majority of the money should go. But there's also some of these small businesses that are staying open are finding it extremely hard to be able to buy PPE, whether it's, Clorox wipes or masks or gloves. They're finding it hard to obtain, or hand sanitizer. Is there any amount of money that's going to be set aside for some of them that they can use without using the money towards maybe rent assistance, so on and so forth, where somebody could go in and get some supplies?
The grants that are going to be provided, or the forgivable loans that will be provided through Mercy Corps, can be working capital up to $10,000, whatever if they want to use that to keep staff employed, if they want to use that to purchase protective equipment, that'll be up to the business on how they use that funding. Does that answer your question?
I had to unmute myself. but I was wondering if there would be a separate pot of money, because most of the small businesses are going to use that for rent assistance, utilities, so on and so forth. Because $5,000 to $10,000, you're talking about 2 months. I get that. But just, I didn't know if you guys were going to have a little small pot where they could come in, a pot of money where you guys could buy this, where they could come in and obtain this from you. But if not, that's okay. I was just throwing it out there.
I'm not sure what that would look like or where we would buy it from or where we would store it or how
sure.
We could, if there's an easy way to do that or a good way that you know of, we could certainly consider that. I'm just not sure.
So this is Michael, and I've, for the past 3 weeks, I've been intimately associated with purchasing PPE and some of the challenges around that. So I think I'd be open. I mean, not you know, this isn't just up to me, but I think I'd be open to having some funds that could be available specifically for PPE if it's needed. I would not want to be responsible for purchasing it, storing it, and distributing it to small businesses. I think the way to do it would be kind of like along the grant or loan method, where, you know, if they needed funds for PPE, somehow they could get it, you know, as part of a program, and you know, and then they have funds to purchase it. But we just do not have the staffing capacity, you know, speaking of the stuff like the admin and stuff. Our structure is really designed to administer contracts and processes around the contracts, RFAs, provide some technical assistance, but we just do not have the staffing capacity to or storage or anything to order PPE, receive PPE, distribute actual products of any kind, whether it's PPE or not.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, like as Sam said, like under the forgivable loan assistance, and I think honestly in most of our contracts under operations, purchasing PPE would probably be an allowable cost in most of our existing contracts if it were needed to, you know, forward activity, you know, which I guess in right now, like we could be, you know, I think there's a good argument for that. And then in things like the small business loan assistance, you know, as Sam said, like, you know, nothing would stop an entity from being like, I need to use these funds for PPE and choose to do that.
This is Dave. I thought that was a great idea around the PPE, just the general notion of it. And I wonder about for communities, you know, our organizations, we're all kind of working through CRESA. I actually have to confess, I don't even know if we're paying for those things now. I know we just go pick them up, although I'm sure most of us have purchased our own stuff that we find because we're all kind of scrambling. And we hope FEMA will reimburse us someday. But you never know. I wonder if that's a possibility too, and sort of backfilling our organizational responses, maybe out of that second round or something, when there's better guidance as a placeholder category for use.
Yes. And any other thoughts and discussion on the CARES stimulus, the HUD funding around it?
No, not for me.
For this initial round, does this look like something that sits well with UCPB overall? Do you want us to pursue something different?
Tim Hodges here. I guess my only comment is that probably speak for everybody, but speaking only for myself, I think we have a great deal of confidence in what you guys are doing, and we don't have as much information as we would like. And so in the effort to get the money out there the most responsible way we can, I guess, and following the guidelines, it seems like your suggestion seems like a good one to me.
Thank you, Jim. I also think, you know, we don't have all the information yet either. As Sam mentioned, we don't know what's going to be waived by HUD and what is not. As of right now, we proceed with the usual rules. We've been told that waivers are coming, but we don't know. I think, and I appreciate the trust and confidence in staff. We felt it was important to call this UCPB meeting, which we originally had not planned before all this COVID stuff, because with the funds coming down to the county and the need to put plans together, the UCPB is still there and it exists. And I think it's part of our due diligence to have this conversation with you. So I guess we're, do we need to put a pause on this kind of staff proposal and explore other things, or I want some guidance, or I'm hoping for some guidance from the UCPB in terms of, do you want us to pursue this and move forward?
Michael, this is Dave. Before I can answer that question, I did have another question on the business assistance. So the additional business assistance to those two organizations wouldn't necessarily be sort of cash assistance with these forgivable loans. It would be, while things are gnarlier now, it's harder for you, we're going to help you navigate through the COVID mosh pit and help you find funds and just help your businesses through this unprecedented sort of thing? Or is it just to help more businesses than they were previously hoping to be able to help because they have more money, or a little of both?
Well, we haven't checked with either one of those two, Hispanic Chamber or Mercy Corps, and they haven't reached out to ask us about additional CDBG funding, but I assume that they would need additional staffing and would be helping additional businesses. So that $50,000 for Hispanic Chamber and Mercy Corps business assistance doesn't necessarily represent any money going directly to small businesses. It would just be a proposal for ramping up their current technical assistance to micro enterprise businesses,
anticipating a higher demand for that need because of COVID.
Right, they might get more calls. Hey, help! I don't know what to do with this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, overall, I think all of these are good. I know early on, I was having a little communication with Sam and talking about helping small businesses. The only other thing that had come to mind since then was fiscal impacts into our communities and whether we're going to be able to deliver those community projects. But we've dealt with that. So this looks pretty good to me. The only thing I would say is if, the guidance comes out, the exceptions or, any new information you get would cause you to think differently about this, or it opens up doors that we hadn't thought of. You hear about examples of other entitlement communities use of these funds and go, "Whoa, we didn't think of that. That's great. That's perfect." Pull us together again to talk about it. But otherwise, particularly on that loan assistance in the case, it'd be great to get those funds out as soon as possible.
And Sam, we need a vote on this to to formalize it, correct?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I've created a poll that everyone except for Jim, I think, would be able to use. And all it says is, I approve of the motion on the floor. So once we have an actual motion, I'll release the poll. And then everyone can just put in their answer there. And then, Jim, if you just would voice your approval or disapproval, then I think that would give us the information we need.
Understood. Thanks.
This is Tracy with the City of Woodland, and I hate to throw another wrench in this, but you know, this is this being brought to the meeting today and sent out last week. I haven't really had a chance to go out and talk to some of the small businesses in my community to see what they need, you know, or even really bring it up to staff to see what they've been hearing from the community. And so what I would like to ask for, and I know this is going to be a burden upon UCPB, but I would like to ask for, you know, I know we have to move fast on this, but for a couple days to go out and reach out to the community, reach out to, and we do have a couple small businesses in our community that have received funding from UCPB and the Hispanic community. So I'd like to reach out to them. I know this is mainly for them, but also reach out to the staff within the city and see what people are talking about as far as where they're really struggling. I know this is all for COVID-19, and I know it needs to be spent quickly and allocated, but I'd like to look, do a little bit more research on my end before we vote and say, yeah, let's move forward with this, unless we're just saying right now that this is the route going forward and we plan on finalizing it if we don't hear back from anybody on this date. Does that make sense what I'm trying to say? I'd hate to vote on $860,000 worth of funding if there's something other critical out there that we really haven't thought about. I don't know if there is, but I'm just kind of throwing that out there. And if everybody else is in agreement with it, I'm good with voting to move forward as well.
This is Cherish DeRocher. I would like to move forward with how this is presented. Thank you.
Melita Mosley, I would like to move forward as well. I think it's important to get this funding in our small businesses right away and consider second round for more details, looking at what finer details hasn't been thought of before. So I'm in approval of going forward with this presentation.
Jim Hodges here. I agree. I think that's a great statement, is that the discussion for me has prompted me to want to collect some more information and understand how our businesses are being affected directly. And hopefully we can address that stuff during the phase two. That's my suggestion, is move on what we have going right now. And then I think we'll all do a little more research on the subject going forward.
This is Dave. That works for me too. And I think even additional information we find about small business impact, they'll take some money, whatever the situation is, to address that. You know, I mean, there could be something that's not financial, but this is all about giving them money. So it's probably going to fall under a grant scenario anyway. I guess it would be like the limits of the grants. Depending on the business, 10 grand might not even be a month's worth of payroll. So you need a motion. I would move that we move forward with this distribution of the $890,000+ of additional CDBG funding.
This is Jeff Johnson. I second the motion.
I have released the poll, so if you'll go ahead and approve or disapprove, and Jim, if you'll voice.
Aye.
We have 6 responses online, plus Jim's. I believe that is all of the members of the Urban County Policy Board, so I will close the poll.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And I just want to, and Tracy, I hear you, and I do agree. We do want to, on one hand, move forward, and on a second, on the other hand, also move as deliberately as we can in an impactful way to our communities, meaning being responsive to what their needs actually are. And I guess what an ask I would have for you as UCPB members between now and I don't know the timing of the next round yet is please be thinking about it and kind of plug into your community and don't wait for us to call for the next UCPB meeting to give us kind of the feedback of what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're thinking. And you know, just to give you an example, you know, a lot of the proposal you had that you just voted on today was really heavily influenced by feedback we were getting from you prior to, you know, over the past couple of weeks about the importance of supporting small businesses. I think specifically we had a lot of some feedback from David Scott to Samantha. So we will be responsive to the feedback that you give us and try to come up with some viable proposals that are built around that. So thank you. I really do appreciate the votes and being able to have some clear direction to move forward with.
Yeah, thanks for just listening. I mean, I know a lot of this, you guys put a lot and time into coming up with the proposals, and I didn't mean to imply it anyway, shape or form, that you hadn't done that and what had come back. So I apologize if that's the way it came across, but I do think this is good. I absolutely do. And I think moving into the second round and the allocation is a good call. And thank you for just listening to our voices.
Thank you. Can we do the next slide? So Sam, do you want to talk about our 2020 funding? And just because we have new information since our last meeting where we allocated the funding prior to COVID-19, you know, there are some things that the funding was a little bit contingent on that we needed more information on that has materialized. And we wanted to keep you in the loop and get your feedback if any is needed. And that's what we're going to talk about right now.
Sure. So if you can see the slide, that was the funds as they were recommended. And we haven't released this yet to all of the applicants. And after the meeting, Proud Ground reached out and they said, hey, you took $100,000 from our home funds to give to the Chibra applicants, but you know, we could also use CDBG funds, and would you consider moving $100,000 from the VHA down to us, because we scored 84 and the VHA was scored a 70. And normal in previous years, which we're not, we don't have to do what we've done in the past, but in previous years they would have competed against each other as social service projects. So they said we would have scored higher than the Orchards and Outdoor Amenities. Could you reconsider moving $100,000 of CDBG to fully fund us? And at the time we said, well, this is how the meeting went and this is what we're going with, but we were waiting to see if all of the other projects would be funded by the City of Vancouver. So we hadn't released the funding recommendations out to the community, out to the providers yet. And so since we're in this weird situation, we had the opportunity to meet with you again, we thought we would run that idea by you before we release all of the award announcements. Does that make sense?
So that would, this is Dave, that would reduce the VHA Orchards and Outdoor Amenities. If we were to do what was requested by Proud Ground, so they could do 3 instead of 2 homes, I guess is what that would mean, that would go down to 56,000.
Correct.
This is Chair Strosher. I would support moving the funding to Proud Ground.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is Tracy. Why again did the VHA move up into the CDBG and out of the affordable housing? Was it because it's a outdoor amenity?
It's because we don't consider emergency shelter as housing. We consider it as a public facility.
This is Dave. I'd be comfortable with that approach as well, particularly based on the scoring.
And at this time, TBRA is only receiving approximately 50,000. Is that correct? Am I reading that correctly? Based on the scoring under the affordable housing and homeless?
So Janice Youth has a TBRA program that's funded at 120,000, and then SHARE has a TBRA program that's funded at 264,000, and Lifeline has a TBRA program that's funded at 36,000. All three of those would receive funding for tenant-based rental assistance.
So if we want to do that, if you want to move that 100,000 of CDBG from the VHA Orchards Inn outdoor amenities to Proud Ground, I think we will need a motion and a second.
Before we jump to that, this is Dave. I don't know what the VHA would do with the $56,000, but given everything that's going on, I'm assuming the demand for the TBRA programs would go up, but I'd be interested to hear from the staff on that. I mean, would we consider even further enhancing those TBRA programs with some of those funds to supplement what we just voted on? Sort of a reprioritization of thinking based on sort of profound new information in our community and societies.
Sam, you want to comment on that?
I was hoping you were going to.
All right. I guess I'm open to that. And this is a UCPV, really you make the decisions on it. We were as staff, what we were bringing to you is a minimum change to what you had already approved, you know, based on what kind of makes sense at a time. I don't disagree that the situation has pretty radically changed since we last met, and I do expect that there will be higher stresses and need for rental assistance in the community. So if you wanted to add dollars to TVRA programs, absolutely you could do that. And Sam, is that what you were thinking as well?
Well, it would be hard to know how much to add to who. Except for Lifeline, they were, SHARE and Lifeline were both underfunded. I don't know if Janice Youth could accept additional funding since they were fully awarded what they asked for, but maybe if we check back with them, everybody would want to get additional assistance. I also don't know, I can't tell what the eviction moratorium is doing to help or how that will look once it's lifted, if we're going to see a lot more people getting evicted or if there's going to be some other government assistance. I just have no idea. I know that renters are going to need help, but would we want to do that with a second allocation of the CDBG funds as interim assistance, or would we want to use the home program, which is a year to 2 years of rental assistance and more case management? I'm not sure what the community is going to need more.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all. I guess one recommendation I would make to the UCPV is if you wanted to do that, you know, as David was just not necessarily proposing, but just, you know, speaking out loud about, you know, adding funding to TVRA because of rental assistance, future concerns on rental assistance in these times. What I would recommend is to start off at least, you know, to if you move funding down to TVRA, maybe bring up to the proposed, to the requested amount within the TVRA program that was submitted. Because honestly, and I, you know, we've been working with all the service providers over the past several weeks as I've been trying to set up these isolation and quarantine and expanded shelter capacity. And, you know, one truth I have found is all our service providers are working at capacity right now. They have very little capacity for more, and it's not based on funding. It's honestly, a lot of it's based on the staffing limitations. A lot of their volunteers are not available right now because their volunteers are part of the populations that are most vulnerable to COVID. You know, so they're covering it with their staffing. So what I would recommend is if you decided to move funds to TVRA, to start with the programs that didn't receive all the funding they requested, and maybe bring it up to what they requested, and give us more time to identify other needs. You know, if there is additional need in the community, and where and by whom for the next round of stimulus funding.
That's a great idea. This is Dave again. I think that's a great idea. You know, I appreciate the quick thinking, and I was just kind of thinking out loud, but it seems like given everything that's going on, I know that this project for VHA is important to the people that are at the Orchards Inn, certainly, but it scored lower just based upon prioritization, and I think this new information about this crisis reemphasizes that, and if we had that information, it might have scored even lower. It doesn't mean it's not a worthy project, but these other things are going to have to take priority in my mind. So I would make a motion to implement what Michael just described, if that suffices as a motion.
This is
Jim Hodges here. I'll second.
Sorry, I just wanted, this is Chair Schroeder, I just wanted to comment. I don't believe that Orchards Inn is actually in operation at the moment, just as a side note. And then I also wanted to say that with the Proud Ground, I don't want to speak negatively of the future or anything, but it kind of seems like the housing market, that possibly prices could go down and they could potentially end up getting more. So I'm definitely in support of adding funding to Proud Ground. Thank you.
This is Temple. I think we did get a second for that for Dave's motion, but I'm wondering if this might need to be two separate things. I would also support moving the funding to Proud Ground. Perhaps that should be its own motion, and then there's more of a direction conversation about the next phase of funding and the TBRA.
This is Dave. I think that's a great idea.
This is Rebecca. So the motion on the floor is to move $100,000 of CDBG funds out of the Orchards Inn Outdoor Amenities to move into the Proud Ground Home Ownership Assistance. I'm going to open a poll and let you guys go ahead and vote on that. And then, Jim, if you'll say your approval or disapproval.
Jim Hodges, hi.
We have five approve with Jim and two that do not approve. The motion passes.
And my name is Ron Onslow, and I've been listening for half an hour trying to get on the website part. But I would agree. I would say aye.
So that gives us 6 to approve and 2 do not approve.
Well, thank you. So we'll move those dollars from VHA to Proud Ground. And Sam, that would leave TBRA as is, if I'm tracking this correctly. Is that how you're tracking it as well?
That's my understanding right now.
Yep. And I guess the next question is, having separated this, we don't have more funds to move around. And so I guess the question is, with additional stimulus funding, do you want us to be looking at making whole as part of any proposal we bring to you to bring up the TBRA programs to their requested amounts? Am I tracking that guidance correctly?
This is Dave. Can you remind us, do you know how much was going to come in the second round?
I do not. Do you know, Sam?
Well, I can tell you that the total CDBG CARES stimulus was $5 billion, and $2 billion came out based on the current formula that all jurisdictions already received. $1 billion is going directly to states. Then the final $2 billion will be based on the new formula that they're going to allocate based on COVID impact to community. So it's $2 billion. How that splits out is unknown. One thing I will say, though, is that right now we don't have any additional home funding in the stimulus. They're hoping that there will be a fifth package, and they are requesting lobbyists and affordable housing consultants are pushing to have home funds included in the next stimulus package. But right now, I don't know how we would increase TIBA projects with stimulus funding unless they provided additional home funds. So it would be more like, if that's what you were interested in, it would be more like the 3-month CDBG subsistence payment for households.
This is Dave again. I'd be interested to hear from others on the board about the thought of what to do with that remaining $56,000 that's still on that Orchards Inn project, and whether we should take action now. You know, we separated that question out. And based on what you just said, we may not have an opportunity to enhance TIBRA. And I'm just interested if anyone shares the thought that we should be doing that at all, understanding it comes at the expense of potentially all the funding for Orchards Inn.
This is Chair Strozier. Can I ask a question about the TIBRA funding that we've already allocated? I'm curious to know if you spoke about waivers and things like that for the new funding. Is there anything that we can do with the TIBRA to kind of somehow allow the recipients to pay for things like long-term hotel stays and things like that to help specifically with the COVID response?
That's something that can be done with CDBG. It's not right now. It's not something that they will allow us the home funding.
Okay, but on like the future funding that we, in the second half of funding that we'll receive, we can do something like that?
We sure could.
And can we put that, since we know we're going to get more money, I believe, and so can we put that out to the current recipients and let them know that that's a possibly something that we can do so that they can get prepared for that?
Certainly. I guess I would want to hear HUD get a little closer to making the formula announcement before I get anybody's hopes up, but we could provide some kind of information about what CDBG stimulus funding could be used for as a heads up to agencies. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, I just like to be proactive on this, and I know that there's a great need for funding for hotel stays and things like that, and I imagine that in the long run, it's going to be more difficult to house people if we're not building housing, so I assume that, you know, motels and hotels will be something that can help mitigate that problem.
Cherish, can I just ask real quick, are you speaking, because all of our TIBRA funds have been targeted towards people who are homeless, is that what you're also thinking as far as hotel and motel stays?
Yeah, just to, so normally the funding's to keep get people housed, but if there's no housing available, we still need to get people somewhere. So just kind of like a temporary way to utilize funding to get people at least indoors.
Sure.
Especially while we're responding to this.
Yeah, the CDBG stimulus, the CDBG funds can be used either for rent, mortgage, or motel vouchers for up to 3 months for a household right now.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Is there any discussion on what David was talking about regarding the remaining $56,000 of CDBG and the VHA Orchards Inn? And moving that down to TBRA.
This is Ron. My question is, would you be losing it if we don't move it?
Well, we haven't talked to the VHA yet to see if they could use $56,000 out of their $244,000 request. I'm not sure exactly how the project breaks out and if there would be one small piece of the project that they could still do for $56,000. I haven't asked them that question.
All right, this is Cherish again. I have another question about that. With all the construction on hold currently, do we know if they're even going to be in a position to do the outdoor amenities anytime soon?
They are finishing up the inside rehab as it's essential construction activity, so they are still getting that done. I don't know when or if they'd be able to start on the outdoor. I don't know when construction will start for any of our infrastructure projects right now.
So, you know, I guess what we can do is we can either leave that $56,000 as is in the project that's currently assigned to, or if that's what you wanted to consider and discuss and vote on, move that $56,000 to TBRA. I guess the next entity that did not have enough of the requested funding would be the Sheriff's Fire TBRA. I guess that's at 260. Well, that would we'd just make the case management whole, correct, Sam? Because we're talking CDBG funds here.
Correct.
So it would really be used in both Share and Lifeline.
We could be, this is Rebecca. We can be a little bit more flexible with Proud Ground because they can use CDBG and home. So we could give them a little bit more CDBG, take some out of home, put it in the actual home part of the TBRA program, if that's what the board decided to do, was move that $56,000 into TBRA. Share is short on their program by a total of $35,400. So it would make them whole, and then the remaining would go into the Lifeline program.
So, wait a second, math. So we're talking moving out of that 56,000 from VHA, 20,600 to Lifeline CBRA program, and the remaining 35,400 to shares, correct?
So, Michael, I'm sorry. I think what Rebecca was saying, we'd move the 150,000 to Proud Ground, then we would move 50,000 of home funds from Proud Ground to the TBRA so that they could also have additional rent assistance?
Correct. That's how I'm trying to like break it down. We're getting kind of complex of moving different funding sources and different. I was just trying to simplify it as much as possible. So for the purposes of a motion, like, you know, is that the intent? And then we can figure out how to actually move the dollars around.
Great.
But I could also be completely wrong, Sam. I mean, let me know if my math is all off.
So this is Dave. Just to get this off the ground, and I'm not sure if the board, my colleagues on the board, even want to do this, but to find out, I guess more formally, I will move that we redistribute $56,270 from that VHA project into TBRA, along with any corresponding reshuffling of home and CDBG funds as appropriate to do that in the most effective way, as was described by staff.
I like that, but it's pretty open.
I mean, the end result, staff, would be after the motion we've already approved and this new motion, there'd be a zero in the VHA cell under CDBG, and there'd be more money in share and Lifeline, either under home or CDBG, have a corresponding amount.
I think that gives us something we can work with, you know, like to meet that requirement as staff. Do you agree with that, Sam?
Yep, I get it.
Yep.
Well, if it makes it easier for you, I would second that. This is Ron.
If there's no more discussion, the motion on the floor is to move the remaining $56,270 out of the VHA Orchards Inn Outdoor Amenities Program into the TBRA program, fully funding the share TBRA, with the remaining dollars going into the Lifeline TBRA. Budgets will be adjusted accordingly to use the CDBG and the home funds as allowable. I have opened the poll to approve or do not approve.
So Jim,
my voice will run as I.
We have 7 to approve, 1 do not approve. This motion passes.
Thank you, UCPB, for hanging in and talking through some pretty complex situations, even when we are face-to-face, and doing it online remotely is even more challenging, so I really appreciate that. Could we have the next slide?
Okay, this is
go ahead.
I was just going to say this is our last wrap-up slide. Everybody, every city received a three-year agreement email letter last Monday. It was addressed to mayors, but I think I copied all of the Urban County Policy Board representatives. This is just every 3 years, HUD wants us to check in and make sure all of our small cities want to continue with our program. If you want to continue with the CDBG program, you do nothing. If you want to opt out, this is your opportunity to do so. We have to be notified by June. So thank you for continuing to participate in the CDBG program. And if you have any questions or any issues, and I'll be happy to chat with you about it. Otherwise, you don't have to do anything with the three-year agreement letter.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Heather, I don't think there's any public comment unless Peggy is our only member of the public who joined us today.
Yep.
Hi, folks. I'm not sure I have any public comment at this point. Nice job on the meeting and the funding. Your funding selections. Our funding selections will be going to council next week.
Well, save the date. Our next UCPB meeting, unless you hear otherwise, will be May 11th, 2020. Hopefully, we'll be able to do it in person, and if not, we will have a little bit more experience doing it this way. So thank you very much.
Teeth drawn.
Thank you. Meeting together. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And thanks, Sam, Rebecca, and Janet for putting all this together and running it so well.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.